It's 4 o'clock, and welcome to a special edition of Valley Voices. I'm your host, Amy Haddon Marsh, and joining me is Beth Wysong, KDNK DJ and co-director of the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great. We've got a lot going on here. Both of us went to two big marches last weekend. You went to a really big march, really, really big march, and I went to a really big march. And Beth, you went to Washington, D.C. for the Women's March there, and I went to Denver with 110 people from the Roaring Fork Valley on buses that left Glenwood Springs Mall at 5:19 a.m. Today's show features perspectives from those marches and from Beth and myself. Gavin Dahl, our new station manager, went to the Carbondale March, and there were 700 people there. And so what we're going to do is play a clip of the voices from the Carbondale March.
At first, I felt very powerless, but it turned around really quickly because I saw a lot of great responses and realized that this is the start of something huge.
I felt like a mini revolution right after.
Yeah.
I felt it like inside. I wasn't necessarily scared. I knew people would react accordingly.
So are you guys old enough to vote? Did you vote this election?
Absolutely, yeah.
What do you say to young people, like say 16, 17-year-olds who haven't had the chance to vote yet, or folks who didn't come out this morning? What do you say to young people about this, you know, how you feel now having come and done this march?
Yeah.
Regardless of your opinion, you should just get involved and like know what's going on in the world, be informed.
My name's Kip Hubbard. I'm from Carbondale. This is a true unification for men and women, all races, all ethnicities, religions, to stand in solidarity for humanity and human peace.
What are your concerns with the new administration?
Where do I start? Let's see. Lack of equality, insensitivity to just about every subculture that's out there. Really an inability to support diversity in our community and in our world. Fear-mongering. We could go on and on.
And how about on the flip side, how are you feeling about the turnout this morning? John from Grassroots TV said he counted 650 people.
That totally does not surprise me for Carbondale. This is an incredibly activist community. People love each other. People are here to support each other. It's incredible to see equal parts men and women in this march. And we're just delighted. It's really amazing to be part of this community.
I think it's great that we're out here on this cold, wintry day marching for whatever's important for each individual person.
Do you mind if I ask your name, where are you from?
My name is Anna Arlene. I've got a little one on the way, so I'm marching for the little one.
Wow.
And the environment she'll grow up in, and the education, and all of those things.
So what are you most concerned about that you think you are or not going to like about the new administration?
I'm concerned about women's rights. She's going to be a female, so women's rights, also the education system, and our environment and what's going to be around for when she's older.
Gaia. I'm from Puerto Rico, but I just moved to Carbondale.
Nice. And so why are you out here today?
Because women's rights are important, and I myself was a victim of sexual assault as a child, and seeing, a precedent that has assaulted women is really painful and very, very sad to see. So, I'm here to support women that have gone through all sorts of trauma, and we're here together in a peaceful, loving way.
Yeah, so that we could all come together in a peaceful way and use this opportunity for showing the world that we're standing together in peace and we're not going to go back to any other kind of consciousness. We're ready to grow and we're ready to step into the new growth that we've been practicing all of our lives. And we're strength in numbers and strength in hearts.
So do you mind saying your name and where you're from?
I'm Lynn Ruoff, and I live here in Carbondale.
Thanks for talking to KDNK, guys.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
I just want to say that if, you're a woman or a man and have experienced any sort of sexual assault or abuse, it's really important to speak up. It took me a decade, but, it's never too late. And there's so many people out there ready to support you and hold your hand and give you love and, share their pain with you. And we're here for you, and it's never too late to come out and speak up.
Well, I'm here to add my positive energy to what's happening in the world and to give out
hope and, you know, solidarity, and all is good.
So are you inspired by the turnout today?
Yeah, 600 people. It's amazing. And I'm so proud to be here. Even though I wasn't able to vote because I'm British, I can do my little bit.
What do you want people in the rest of the world to know about people here today? Like you said, the positive side.
Well, there's just so much goodwill and coming together. And, you know, it's not all angry hatred. It's coming together and positivity and hope.
What do you say to the people who are angry, who are, you know, here with you at the march, to help them understand your point of view? You know what I mean? Because a lot of people are very angry.
Yeah. Well, I just think, you know, take your anger. It's good. It's energy. And use that energy, you know, in a positive way. Anger communicated angrily isn't going to get us anywhere. I'm Heather Veazey from Aspen.
Stephanie Warner, and I am living in Carbondale. I grew up in Carbondale. Can't be more proud of my town than right now.
Those are voices from the Carbondale March. On Saturday, where close to 650, 700 people showed up, thanks to Gavin Dahl for representing KDNK and bringing in that audio. Beth, I found out that close to 150 people marched in Glenwood on Saturday. And I know for sure 110 went to Denver on the buses. And I just talked to Lisa Cutter, who's the communications person for the Denver March. And she said Denver PD won't confirm numbers. They won't confirm them for some reason. But she believes the original confirmation was 100,000.
Wow. Did you feel like it was that big?
I felt like it was that big.
Right.
But you know, the one thing that was really interesting is that after, you know, if I'm standing for a couple of hours surrounded by a lot of people, usually I get kind of anxious and weird and weirder. And, you know, I kind of get anxious and peeved a little bit because it's just jostling and too much crowded. And I didn't feel that way at all.
Right.
Everybody was just really good vibes is all I can say. Really good vibes down there, despite the fact that there were so many people. I mean, the march started, it wasn't until 15 minutes after the march started that my section, wherever the heck I was, started moving. So,
yeah, I mean, I had the same exact experience. I stood on a corner. I stood on a corner for 4.5 hours. In the same spot. I couldn't move because there were so many people. And I'm similar to you in crowds now after living in a small town.
Right.
I couldn't move for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. And my two friends that I was with, we found a street lamp that we could put our back towards. And that made us feel a little bit more comfortable. But that was my anxiety that I worked through. But it was so peaceful that it was really easy to stand there for 4.5 hours. And like you said, you were talking about your march. We couldn't march because there were too many people.
Yeah, you said something that the D.C. march was canceled?
Well, it wasn't canceled, but of course it didn't go in the route that it wanted, that it was projected to go, because people couldn't move and nobody knew where it was supposed to start.
It was so packed that people were just standing there.
Right. So we finally got it. We finally got to move after 4.5 hours.
How did you get out of there?
It was great. We finally got to march out towards, you know, 14th Avenue, and it was great. But yeah.
Where did that march start?
It was supposed to start at 4th and Independence.
Okay.
But
is that like the heart of town or something?
It's, you know, on the mall.
Okay. Okay.
And I was at 7th and O Street. So I was very far from where it was supposed to start and where the speakers were. So
7th and O Street.
I didn't hear anything that went on as far as the speakers. I have to go back to YouTube and YouTube it, but I don't even know what was said.
What was said or who was saying it. But now where were the speakers?
At 4th and Independence.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's where the rally point was.
Right,
got
exactly.
It. And you said that the march wasn't allowed to go towards the White House. Past the White House, or
no? I don't know.
I didn't
say that to you, but I didn't know that. Okay. It went the opposite direction, or hypothetically went the opposite direction.
Okay, sort of symbolic.
Yeah, but tell me about how it was riding with everyone from the Valley.
That was so much fun.
Getting up at 5 a.m.
Everybody was happy.
Right.
Yeah. You know, beforehand, when we were signing up for the bus, you know, reserving our seats, some people were like, oh, it's countless, an ungodly hour, and blah, blah. But everybody was happy, and everybody had tea or coffee or something. Mm-hmm. And just talking and talking, 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 talking. And then finally, you know, as we all got on the bus, and after maybe about an hour, people kind of calmed down, and some people were napping. Mm-hmm. But it was really fun, you know. It was just like the march. Everybody was friendly and happy. And, you know, even people who didn't know each other, everybody was talking. Mm-hmm. And then on the way back, then everybody, well, not everybody, but some people, not the driver, but some people were having a little wine. And so they were really loosened up. I got some good interviews then. But
I'm sure.
Just kidding, ladies. But
my whole flight was the same way. It was all, my whole flight to Baltimore was all women. And
really?
I was in the last row, uh-huh. And by the time the drink cart came, the wine was gone.
So were all of the passengers headed to the march?
I would say 80% of the passengers were going to the march. There was pink everywhere, and mm-hmm. there were only about, you know, 10% men. But
and they were all huddled in one row.
And I think a lot of them were going too. Yeah. I mean, it was amazing.
Well, I think there was one man who, that's what I heard from the organizers of the Glenwood buses. There was one man, but he was in the other bus. I was on the red bus. I didn't go on the white bus. But there were women from Newcastle to Woody Creek on my bus. And I think there were some women from Aspen, but I'm not sure. And it was just, it was great. The thing that was reassuring to me is that everybody was concerned about the direction the country is headed.
Right.
But everybody felt good because they knew that there were thousands, hundreds of thousands of like-minded people.
Yeah.
And so it was a happy, fun occasion. You know, the bus, I could just imagine the bus in a cartoon bouncing mm-hmm. down the roads with a little clouds of smoke coming out of the exhaust and the happy smiling faces. I mean, that's what it felt like. It was neat.
How neat to arrive at the Capitol together and to just mm-hmm. get off the bus and be with all of those other people who had done the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it was amazing. It was just amazing. And I took off right away, and lugging 20 pounds of gear and running around, you know, trying to juggle the microphone and the camera and the mm-hmm. But, you know, it was good. That's what it's all about. Wow. And everybody there was friendly. The first people I ran into were Leadvillians.
Hmm.
And so maybe we should play a clip. I talked with one of the organizers of the Denver march. And then, so on this clip, you'll hear one of the organizers of the march and then some women and their daughter, a woman and her daughter from Leadville, and then a man from Longmont, I believe.
My name is Cheetah McClellan.
And you are one of the three organizers of this giant women's march in Denver. We've got quite a turnout here. What are you feeling right now?
Every emotion imaginable. I am so excited and just a little bit in disbelief. When I created this event on Facebook, I thought it would be like me and maybe 50 of my knucklehead friends, you know. I had no idea that I would have 50,000 new friends.
Are there 50,000 people here?
Well, this morning on Facebook, when I looked, the estimated attendance was 45,000, and that was just on Facebook. So that's not including people that aren't on social media. That doesn't include the people that brought, you know, 10 people with them. So I'm estimating by the time we start this march in about an hour that there will be about 50,000 people here.
What was your impetus to start something like this?
I think like most of us here today, I was really shaken by the rhetoric that happened over that whole election cycle. The hate and the discrimination that just suddenly seemed excusable and acceptable was unacceptable to me. I have a daughter who is 16 years old. When she was 13, she came out as a lesbian. My son has Asperger's, and I work with 99% Latino students as a math teacher. And so a lot of these really hurtful things were being directed at people that I love. And so I really just thought, I have to do something. And when it became apparent that I couldn't make it to D.C., I said to my husband, what if we just do our own march here in Denver? And he said, oh, someone else will do that. And I took that as a little bit of a challenge. And that night, I couldn't find anyone that was doing a march. And so I started doing it myself. Woke up the next morning, 800 people coming to your event in 24 hours. So,
yeah. So you're like a mother lion taking care of her kittens. You know, I'm hearing that you felt threatened. and you took action.
Absolutely. I have to say mama bear, right? I get that mama bear comes up in me where I'm like, oh, don't you mess with my kids. Don't you mess with those people I love. Yeah. Yeah.
What's next for you after this?
Well, I am actively looking for a fourth grade teaching job, by the way. but really, we, Jessica Rogers and I, are another one of our co-organizers. We're starting a nonprofit organization. We're going to be moving forward with this. We have so many people that are on board and excited about what we're doing, and we would feel foolish to let that go. And so we really don't know exactly what that direction will take. It will depend a lot on what, you know, how people involve themselves. But we really want to continue to provide a platform for people to express themselves and connect. You know, that's the whole point, is getting people face to face, out from behind social media. Yeah.
My name is Melissa, and I am from Leadville. We came down last night to participate in this with my two daughters because I want them to know that there is something they can do.
Do about what?
If they feel that their rights or the rights of people that they love are threatened, I want them to know that they can stand up and say they will not accept this.
Do you feel like your rights are being threatened?
I do. One of my first experiences as a young woman with my own reproductive health was at a Planned Parenthood. And I want to make sure that that is still here for all young ladies, amongst other things.
My name is Violet Hill. I'm from Leadville, Colorado, and I'm here today because I feel that I can do something to stand up for everybody.
How old are you, Violet?
I'm 10 years old.
And this is the first time you've ever done something like this?
Yes, it is.
My name is Neil Martin. I'm from Lakewood, Colorado. What got me up today to come out here in March is, you know, equality. And, you know, I want a better world for my children and my daughters, and you know, if people are going to take away rights to people I love and care about, then I'm going to stand up and march.
Do you feel like rights are being threatened?
I do. You know, the past 8 years, while not perfect under President Obama, I think, you know, we've had marriage equality and other advances that I believe in and I'm going to stand up for. So I think they're in jeopardy.
Katie and Kay, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Peggy Shaw. I'm calling from Champaign, Illinois.
Peggy Shaw, you're my cousin.
Yes, this I am.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Just a little self-disclosure for listeners. Peggy Shaw is my cousin, as I just said.
I'm proud to be your cousin.
I'm proud to have you as my cousin. I'm sitting here with Beth Wysong.
Hi, Beth.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
So, Peg, thanks for calling in. You went to the march in Chicago. Tell us what your experience was like.
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. I'm from Champaign, Illinois, which is a college town that's about 2 hours from Chicago. Mm-hmm. And we often have lots of political protests going on down here, but they're relatively small. And so I wanted to be in Chicago, which is my hometown. So they were talking about changing the route because they found out that it was going to be 50,000 people. Mm-hmm. And it was super exciting. We got up there, and it was so packed. We found out later on that they had to officially cancel the march because it was more than 250,000 people showed up.
Oh my gosh. So what do you mean cancel the march? They did the
same
thing in D.C.
Well, because we physically couldn't move down the street that they had originally planned because it started at Grant Park. I don't know if you've ever been to Chicago, but Grant Park is the park that's along the lakeshore. So the plan was to have a rally at the park and then march down Jackson Boulevard to the west.
Okay.
But there were so many people feeding into Grant Park from every direction that you couldn't take 250,000 people and direct them down Jackson Boulevard.
Okay.
So
what happened?
We did it, but it was unofficial because they said their permit was only for 50,000.
Oh my gosh.
So it was an official cancellation of the march because the permit wasn't good anymore, but the police and the fire department and everybody just moved the barricades, and we had a great time. It was awesome.
I know. You know, in Denver, it was sort of the same thing with the cops. I mean, it was the same thing everywhere. I mean, D.C., mm-hmm. Beth just said that, you know, the march was canceled because there were too many people.
Right.
And in Denver, there were some shifts in the march route. Right. And the cops were, I expected to see mounted police, like the Democratic National Convention and all this
right.
stuff. They were, there was like one guy standing at an mm-hmm. intersection
right.
and then the rest of them were on bikes and hi, have a nice day kind of thing. You know, it just,
right.
it was incredibly peaceful. I mean, did you see any violence up there?
No, nothing.
Great.
Nothing.
That's great.
It was amazing. In fact, I was thinking about it later on and I thought, what? I think the latest estimate was maybe 3 million people around the world.
I've heard that too.
And no incidents of arrest or violence,
wow.
I mean, that I know of.
Yeah,
but
right.
it was amazing. I mean, it felt there was a police presence there for sure,
mm-hmm.
but it felt like in a little bit like we were all in this together.
Exactly. I had the
little
same,
tiny window of that in Chicago.
Same experience in D.C. I didn't even see an actual police officer once all
wow.
day long. Yeah.
Really?
And
right.
granted, there were so many people there, you know, but I really didn't even see a police officer. And so that there was just no tone for that.
No, no. And it was really, I went with my daughter who's going to school up in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So I met her up there. And this was her first, I mean, she's been going to protests all her life, but nothing like
that. Not like this.
Not like this. So this was huge. And I think she said something on Facebook about it was incredible to think of herself as being a part of something so big and so great.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it was like, it was amazing. I felt so honored to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I'm from a college town, Champaign, now, and I've been to many protests down here. And I would say the biggest one I've ever been to was maybe 500 people, maybe, you know,
right.
I don't know. That's what I'm picturing.
Right.
And so I was up in Chicago and my friends from Champaign were texting me that they had thousands. I mean, they estimated 6,000 people showed up
in Champaign. You're talking
in
about
Champaign, Illinois, uh-huh. college town. And they had the same problem. Then all of a sudden the route wasn't going to squeeze all these people, but they had a really peaceful, demonstration. And
so, Peggy Shaw,
amazing.
What does this mean? What are you taking with you from the march? What are you taking forward from your experience in Chicago?
Well, what I'm taking forward is something I desperately needed, actually, is to feel like I'm part of a really big, strong, caring tribe.
Right.
And to feel the energy that comes from that when mm-hmm. we come together and that maybe there is something we can do. It took away the feeling of isolation and hopelessness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's
right.
what it took away from.
Okay.
And, you know, I was telling my daughters after the election, we kind of escaped to Michigan and pretended we were going to Canada, and we called it our 2016 misery tour. We just had to take off.
Uh-huh.
You know, we needed to be near the big lake and the woods and music and
right.
each other and stuff, because it was, yeah, well, anyway.
Yeah.
And I told them, I said, you know, the only good thing I can think of is that your generation is going to experience how urgent all this is.
Mm-hmm.
Because my kids, who are 18 and 22, mm-hmm. you know, they've never voted for anybody that wasn't Obama.
Right.
And they were aware of life before Obama, but they were smaller
mm-hmm.
young
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of it, including my college, I teach at a community college, for a lot of them, they kind of just thought the way things are the way things are.
And the way things always have been.
And they've always been that
mm-hmm.
way, and I don't think they knew it was on them to make it happen.
Wow.
And so
that's huge. Yeah, that's really
tough
big.
Lesson, but yikes. But
yeah.
That's what I took away from it.
That's a lot, Peggy Shaw, and I'm really glad you called.
Thank you.
We have to wrap it up, but
yeah. I'm glad that I got to talk with you too.
Yeah, finally we got to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll talk to you this weekend, hopefully.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
Calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is my cousin.
That's nice to hear. I mean, what she says resonates so much with me about the tribe, and that I had the same feeling of moving from isolation to feeling empowered. And
exactly.
With knowing that people felt the same exact way.
Yeah,
I
all these like-minded people around us.
Right.
Yeah, and it wasn't just, you know, one person. You know, before we shift into, it's now 4:25, and this is KDNK. You're listening to Valley Voices, a special edition. Amy Haddon Marsh with your eye. Jeez. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, your host, and Beth Weisong is joining me. And in just a few minutes, we're going to hear Beth's wonderful, thoughtful program about her trip to D.C. and the march there. So we'll get a lot of voices and perspectives from D.C. But before we move into that, I met this woman at the march from South Sudan, this beautiful woman, and I recorded her story. So as a last clip from the Denver march, I'd like to play this piece from the woman from South Sudan.
My name is Nibel Bure. I'm originally from South Sudan, which used to be a part of the Sudan. My family migrated here in 1995 as refugees. Soon after I was born, I immediately became a refugee. Luckily, the United Nations gave us a refugee asylum to move here, and I was able to grow up in Dallas, Texas. I believe in immigration. I believe that America can make a difference by being welcoming of people from war-torn countries such as my own, South Sudan. I moved here 21 years ago. I came here with no English fluency, and I am now teaching as a special education teacher in Longmont High School. I have five other brothers and sisters who are very successful. One is actually going to graduate from the University of Texas in Austin. She's a government major and she aspires to become a judge eventually. I'm here because I believe that when we are welcoming of refugees, that change can happen. And I'm here to support peace for everyone around the world. And that's why I'm here today.
That was an amazing story, I thought.
Really was.
Yeah, she was really hesitant to speak. She and two of her friends were standing behind me for 15 or 20 minutes when we were stuck. And before we started marching, and her friends talked with me, and then, because she just was really shy. And finally, after they talked, out she came with the story. And at first I thought, well, maybe she doesn't speak much English, or, you know, I didn't know why she was so shy. And then boom, out she came with this story. And everybody around us sort of was quiet, not obviously behind us, you know, the cheering and everything, but people were starting to lean in as she was talking, and they gave her a little round of applause afterwards. And oh, that was beautiful. And so it was really neat to hear that. Well, we've got about 2 minutes before we go to Washington, D.C., and I just want to say that I was really amazed. Well, that's, you know, everybody's using the word amazed, but I think that's what it was of being in Denver. I think the chant that we opened with, Love Not Hate Makes America Great. As we were walking under, I don't know where this is in Denver, but it's a big over, it's a tunnel that you walk through, but it's a breezeway from store to store over mm-hmm. Banana Republic and Victoria's Secret, which everybody was taking pictures of because, you know, it was so ironic. But the echo of the voices underneath and in that tunnel gave me chills. And just to see that sea of signs and pink hats and everybody, it was very powerful. It was very, very powerful. And so I hope we can all carry that forward. There is something happening tomorrow night, I think, at the Third Street Center. I'll announce it on the news, a meeting of women who went to the marches and, oh, wow. and what's next. I will announce that.
There's also a letter writing party on Saturday at the library as well.
Carbondale?
Mm-hmm.
What time?
I believe 1 to 5.
1 to 5 at the Carbondale Library letter writing party.
But I can check and maybe you can
I'll announce it on the news. Yeah. Okay. Well, Beth, I want to thank you for joining me. We're going to listen to your piece now. I'm really excited about it. And
a lot of great perspectives.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that you were able to go to D.C. and bring this back. So this is from Beth Weisong. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
And I suppose what motivated me here is that I really believe in equal rights for women, and therefore that shouldn't ever be threatened or anything by tyranny or by anyone in power. So, yeah.
My name is Chesney Rhodes. I'm from New Kent, Virginia, and I'm marching today because I think it is very important to hold our leadership accountable in this country. Of course, I would never wish for any president to fail, but I think it's a fundamental right in a democracy like America to hold them accountable.
I'm Noah Rosner. I'm here from Charlottesville, Virginia, and I'm here because I support equality for all people and all women, and if I have the privilege to be here, then I should be here.
My name is Donna Chapin. The main reason I am here today is to promote unity with all of us, that if we don't work together, we will not make this country a better place.
We all need somebody.
The evening and the day after the march, I was able to ask attendees about their perspectives and their reflections after the day was done.
My name is Jared. I'm from Washington, D.C.
What was your perspective of the march today?
It was wonderful. So yesterday was a tough time for the city. It was a very uninspiring night and day, and today restored a lot of what, you know, I like to see about the city and this nation. It was very calm with the amount of people that were there, collective, diverse audience of people, and it was amazing. It was truly inspiring, and it sort of was a healing moment, especially because the past few days have been pretty hard on, you know, D.C. people and all people across the nation. So, yeah, it was great to be a part of it.
I'm Liam Doyle. I'm from New York. I was fearful for my sisters. I was fearful for my friends who are black, LGBT, who don't fit into the white view of the world that Trump is portraying. And I felt the need to stand side by side with them and say, this is not the America that that's not the America that we all want to see. I feel incredibly encouraged. You know, we've been spending the last 3 hours trying to figure out how many people were there. They haven't really committed to that, but I saw some footage from the roof that looked like a million people. It was incredible. The atmosphere was amazing, and we were actually saying how impressed we were and how happy we were that there were no incidents. That many people, but a peaceful yet incredibly strong demonstration of how unhappy we are with the way the direction this government's going.
Yeah. Jason Kelly, New York. Specific reason for me, for myself, and I'll extend that, but for myself, I felt as if the world tilted on its axis a bit the night of the election. And the next morning, and the feeling that I had was almost something of wanting to be sick or throw up the next morning. But for me, was nothing like what my wife and best friend experienced, which was this sense of loss and mourning that extended for weeks and weeks and weeks after the election. And so for me being here, part of it's in support of her and what is this Women's March, and also very much for myself and why I'm here. And coming into the day, I couldn't have answered that in the morning, what it was for me personally exactly, but I can much better at the end of today, which is the 614 cities around the world, the 2.5 million people, or whatever the number is, that got together in a way that was out of peace and love and unity, and where we're going together in the future, not criticizing or challenging our democracy, but celebrating it with a voice and painting a picture of that the person who represents that office today as president does not paint a full picture of what those 2.5 million people, again, or whatever the number, represented today by physically getting out there and being together as a community, and that by is something that I will remember and treasure for the rest of my life, and I'm very appreciative for.
Hi, this is Jesse from Bellevue, Colorado. Back on the street. We're here at a place called Thomas Circle in Washington, D.C. And they've encircled this shrine to a general named Thomas with all the different signs that were being held up at the rally yesterday. And we're just gazing at things, and lots of people are standing around, and just good to reflect on the powerful day we had yesterday. And hopefully it can be the catalyst for our country to move forward.
So my name is Keith Shiver. I'm a D.C. resident for about 6 years now, and I'm originally from Atlanta, but we went by, my partner and I went to the march yesterday just for 15-20 minutes just to really show our support, because I think it was really encouraging to be around so many like-minded people. And I think in a time of so much negativity and, like, you know, fake news and all that kind of stuff, it was really encouraging to support people who, you know, are out there for the things that I believe in, or fighting for the things that I believe in, you know. So it was really encouraging to be around so many people that were fighting something that seemed so blatantly wrong, you know. So it was really encouraging. I thought it was really powerful just to be around so much energy, you know.
Nancy Opperin, Santa Cruz, California. I think what moved me to come yesterday was clearly who got elected, and a feeling of wanting to have a voice in our future in a positive way, and just having a voice and feeling a sense of frustration and not knowing what to do about it. There's so many things that this man stands for that I don't, and I think women coming together and having a voice and showing support for each other and for a different voice, I think, was very meaningful and powerful to me.
Barbara from San Jose, California. The reason I came is because I was afraid for the country and for people that believe in things that I believe in. And the thing that moved me yesterday was being with those people, and I think it was part of the healing process to just be around people that I felt safe with for the first time in, since November, whenever the day of the election was. So,
my name is Laura Colada, and I'm from Bellevue, Colorado. I came to march in D.C. because of my son, Oliver. I've reached a critical mass in my life where I felt very complacent with the last 8 years with Obama. You know, kind of really supporting the things that I believed in and doing his best to forward those things in Washington. And I realized at a certain point that that wasn't going to be enough. And man, a smack in the face is the way that the 2016 election went. So for me personally, coming to Washington, D.C. is about reasserting our rights as human beings, as men and women, as people of color, as children who are going to be growing up in this world, to come here and join together and forward an agenda of love versus hate. I'm really proud of the movement as it happened today. I feel really supportive and proud of what I saw. I think that there was a lot of chance today in the throng of people and the craziness and the millions of people who were in D.C. and all across the nation to see some violence and see some elevated sorts of behaviors that are not okay, like for the long-term health of the movement. And I feel really proud that what we came away with was a movement of peace and love. Like, I didn't see anything negative. I saw positive people carrying forward an agenda that they can believe in. A nod to the generations before them, their grandparents, their parents, them, their children. That's something that we can all believe in, and I believe strongly in that. Love is the answer.
For me, the Women's March on Washington was a demonstration of democracy in action and peace in progress. I was engulfed in a crowd that was unfathomable in numbers, and everyone was peaceful. Thousands of people came together with a like mind and thought towards specific causes that affect them deeply. I am greatly moved as to what humanity can do to support one another, collectively. The march was proof that when we come together in solidarity, we can accomplish great things. I would like to thank Laura and Jesse Collada from Bellevue, Colorado, who traveled with me to Washington, D.C., and all the people who were willing to tell me why they were at the march. And of course, I would like to thank KDNK Community Access Radio.
That was excellent, Beth. Completely excellent.
Thanks,
hello,
Amy.
Are you here?
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
That was wonderful.
There was
really riveting.
It was pretty amazing because when I'd asked that question that we, you know, what motivated you? Mm-hmm. Everyone had an answer.
Yeah.
Nobody stumbled on their response. Yeah. Everyone knew exactly why they were there.
Yeah.
And it was really, really fun for me to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really, you brought back some wonderful voices and you did a great job putting it together. It's hard to... It's really hard sometimes to put all of that stuff together, but you did a fabulous job.
Oh, thanks.
And I wanted to let people know that on Sunday, January 28th, at the 3rd Street Center from 2 to 4 p.m., after the march, what do we do now? Hear from women who went to D.C., Denver, and Carbondale and plan for the future of our nation. This has been Valley Voices, a special edition with Beth Wysong, and I'm your host, Amy Haddon Marsh, and thanks to Peggy Shaw for calling in, and to Gavin Dahl for producing audio from Carbondale, and to all the people who marched. Thanks, Beth.
Thanks, Amy.